Psalm chapter 44, verse 3. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shalom, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. God bless you all. I thank the Lord for bringing all of us to see another day. And I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Psalm 44 is a reflection of what we learn from the scripture concerning not by power, not by might, not by the one who runneth, not by the one who willeth, but by the Spirit of God, and but by the one who sheweth mercy. Amen. This verse, it says, whatever the land that you have possessed, whatever the goodness that you have achieved, whatever the blessedness that you have received, and the Lord is reminding us, it is not by your very own work, it is not done by your very own hand, but by the right hand of God that represents our salvation, who holds the dominion, authority, power over all things, who loves us so much. And the light of his countenance. The countenance is how beautiful the Lord is in all our life, how faithful he is, and how grateful we should be, because we receive the favor from his sight. Amen. And that is how the mercy of the Lord restored our life, rewrote what our life was marching forward to, but the Lord changed the course of our life to bless us to walk towards him, because we are walking dead towards death, and now we are all walking in Christ, alive towards Christ, because he is drawing us closer to him. But in that process, the Lord is warning all of us to be aware of the possessions that you can see on the right side and on the left side, that we do not turn to the right side and we do not turn to the left side, because these possessions will attract you to come to them, to try to deceive you, to make you to take one step outside the way of holiness. Because the way of holiness, the beast cannot enter, but the beast can stand at the right side or the left side to deceive you to come outside the way of holiness, so that you lose your protection. Then you can be easily attacked outside the protection. The sheep should not jump over the territory of the shepherd's flock, because the shepherd has commanded the sheep not to go beyond the word, because the word of God is the territory for all of us to find pasture. Like how God spoke to Moses on the Mount Nebo, he showed him the promised land and he showed him all the corners of Israel. Then Moses was able to draw the map of Israel, the territory of how the land of God would be. And that is the Lord's way of making a clear demarcation, a territory within which we all should be. Amen. Now, the Lord says that land that you possessed is not by you, is because of me, because he showed us mercy and we received his favor, and because of his hand we received it. Now, David also says in Psalm chapter 37 verse 29, as we meditated on the first day of this series, that the righteous shall possess the land which is reserved for them. Now let's keep this in our heart. The righteous shall possess the land, because the land is their inheritance. And chapter 44 verse 3 says, what you possessed is not because of you, but it's because of the right hand of the Father in heaven, because we received favor from his sight, which is God so loved the world, he gave his only son. And that son, that blessed assurance, the promise of God, which fulfilled the will of God in all our lives, is what we received. Now, what happens to all of us as believers, brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, servants of God, the bride of Christ? There are so many things happen to us just because we received the revelation as the seventh church age. In the last 2000 years, if you look at the world, how things evolved, how technology, the lust of power and pride to destroy the nations, they fight one another. It also happens in the families, they fight one another. Even among our loved ones, we also end up in fighting one another. It's because the only way the unity of God's people can be compromised is to have the greedy and possessive attitude of what God has given us to possess, which means the provision of God is not a trophy. The children of God, they lack absolutely nothing in the wilderness because the Lord is their provider. But what the Lord provided cannot become a trophy, because he is the provider and he is the provision, and the Lord is my portion. Now, let us keep this in our heart, that the Lord has called all of us to walk as one, speak as one, think as one, and move together as one, like how the people of Israel were marching around the city of wall of Jericho. Now we are all facing the madness and the filthiness, the darkness, the wickedness, the principalities of this world, and we are all marching together as one, compassing around as the earth is rotating. The bride of Christ is compassing around to keep pressing forward, to move, and to keep our eyes set on the author of salvation and wait for him to come and take all of us home. In this, in this battle of righteousness, what if that we start misunderstanding the possession the Lord has given to us, which was by his very own right hand, not by our very own righteousness? For there is no righteousness other than God's righteousness. For there is no love other than God's love. For there is no other spirit other than God's spirit. Everything else is carnality. Everything else is vanity. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and verse 10 is speaking to us in a beautiful understanding of what do we have is not something that we can measure, but we can only experience. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9. It says, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things, yea, deep things of God. And the apostles are teaching us, we have nothing, but yet possessing all things. As long as the Lord himself is everything to us, then we possess him, which is the all things of God, yea, the deep things of God, everything, the fullness of God dwells in him, and we possess him as our exceedingly great reward. When we do that, although we are sorrowful, we are rejoicing. Although we are poor in this world, we are rich in heavenly kingdom. Although we are called fools in this world, we are wise in his spirit. And the Lord says, ensure that you have nothing in flesh, but you have everything in spirit, which is he himself who gave us the comforter, the victory, the power of his resurrection. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9 to 10 is a beautiful encouragement for every one of us today. Although we may lack things on this earthly battle, the Lord has given us the assurance, you lack nothing in the heavenly riches, because he is your portion, he is your reward, and he is your everything. If not, we may use him as a reason to offend one another, to fight one another, to compete with one another, to compare one another, as if the fivefold ministries are different private companies who are competing for the profit of who is the greatest, who is the wealthiest, who is the most reputed. This is not the calling of the bride of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was moving like a river. He had nothing, but he had everything. Prophet Jeremiah was despised, was thrown here and there. He had nothing, but he possessed everything. Prophet Isaiah was walking naked for 3 years. He was despised, but he was glorified, honored in the Lord's perfect will. The way the enemy divided all the seven church ages throughout the last 2000 years is by twisting what is possession to them, is by deceiving what is inheritance to them. We do not live a life to justify the legacy of the name of the ministry. We do not live a life to glorify the name of the minister. But we live the life for the Prince of Life who died for us on the cross. We glorify him by living a life that is Christ and Christ alone, that is shining the love of Christ who washed the feet of the disciples. May the Lord prick our hearts. Are we on a campaign or are we on walking in the Calvary? Because campaign has a purpose of ambition, expansion, like how kings were claiming the lands by defeating them, destroying the enemies, and they were stealing the lands. The one who possessed the land could be the enemy, and the one who lost the land could be a righteous person. Like how Uriah was killed by Joab, by the command of David, who was God's anointed. The land the Lord is talking about is not what the world is weighing on a scale, that who is good, who is bad, who is rich, who is poor, who is fruitful and who is not. Let us always remember this. Manasseh ruled 55 years. The short-lived testimony of Stephen has been spoken for the last 2000 years every single day to edify and encourage a child of God, some corner in this world, because of the life of Christ manifested in that short-lived testimony of Stephen. But the long-lived King Manasseh, he ruled as an evil king. Even he ruled Jerusalem more than is David, who ruled only for 33 years. And the ministry of Christ only for 3 years. It is not about how long we serve the Lord. It is not about how many years that we are in the faith, we are in the truth, we are walking in the message. It is none of that. It is all about who we are today and whom we will be tomorrow. Because today is the day. The Lord has told us, take your life one day at a time, because you may not see another day. Possess that day. Keep me as your possession and remember me as your inheritance. Forget about yesterday, because yesterday was past. We cannot change it. But to be today, we can live as present. Tomorrow, we do not know what is coming. And the Lord said, live a life as a newborn child on that day and finish the day for the glory of the Lord and wait for the Lord's salvation tomorrow. When tomorrow becomes today, let's do the same that we did yesterday. We press on. We press on to the towards the mark of that high calling. And 2 Corinthians is a beautiful encouragement. We have nothing, but we possess everything. Now, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. We have meditated on lands, blessings, favor, mercy, gifts. But let's look at the foundation of God's redemption. The reason why we are all holding scripture in our hands, Old Testament, New Testament, both agrees as one to show us who is the Savior, the only Savior. God was manifest in flesh, justified in spirit. Now, 1 John chapter 5 verse 11 says, this is the record, this is the testimony, this is written, this is the purpose of what is written. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord says, eternal life is given, but He put that life in His Son. The life was hid in Christ. It was a revelation that we were exposed to what is true life. It was Him who revealed the true life to us. We could not find the true life. The Lord called us unto that marvelous light. It was Him who opened the promised land. He blessed us to come in. And He says, the eternal life is in His Son, the Son of God, the complete manifestation of God's word and the manifestation of what we see, that God was manifest in flesh. The word was with God. There is only one God. There is only one Savior, Aleph. And He says, verse 12, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is the possession. This is the inheritance that God promised to Abraham. I am your exceedingly great reward, because Abraham is the father of all nations, and the Lord blessed that promise through the covenant that He had made with Abraham. Later that He restored it, renewed it with the servants to come. But He said, the one who received the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the only salvation, then we receive life. We receive life. It is absolutely important to understand why we are all baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But it is not sufficient to boast in our baptism, but it is the message of the heart that we should boast in the glory of the Lord by walking to it, walking straight into it. For the glory of the Lord dwells in the midst of His children. Zechariah chapter 2 verse 5. The possession, the inheritance of our life as a child of God, ministry of God, apostolic faith that we are all rooted in, we cannot misplace it with anything else. We are not here to glorify ourselves by becoming someone bigger, stronger, greater. Any growth that is outside the word of God, the Lord would call it as we are getting fatter, not in the word of God, but in the worldly riches. And the Lord says, don't add anything and don't remove anything. Wherever we are planted, the vineyards the Lord has given to all of us, the Lord says, do as I say, nothing more, nothing less. Any ambitions will push us into become kingdoms, not to remain as the ministries, humble apostolic ministries of the Lord. We are not kingdoms, but we are the sheep thrown in the midst of the wolves. Amen. May the Lord guide us that what we have today is because of Him. Who we are today is because of Him. All glory, all honor unto Him, the name of Jesus Christ. And for us, we are content in what we received. That is He Himself, exceedingly great reward. Let us love one another. Let us stand with one another. For we are the possession of one another in Christ. God bless you all. Shalom. Have a blessed day in Christ. Amen.